Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 21 of the Self-Help Podcast. Each week, myself and Sean aim to give you a better understanding of yourselves and the world around you. It's important to learn, right, Sean?
Yeah, if you're learning, you get at least 1,400 new brain cells every day, but you have to be learning something new to get them.
Who counted?
It was me. There's another one, there goes. The average on the research would present 1,500 a day. You're getting new brain all the time if you keep learning. Once you stop learning, your brain goes into decline.
We just want to get people thinking, don't we?
Yeah. So, yeah, this podcast is about encouraging those people to listen to it, and indeed us two talking about it.
Yeah.
To examine, look at, think about the ways that we are putting things together and how we could look at things in different ways.
Indeed. Because we spend a bit of time before each, half an hour before the show, don't we? Just batting ideas around.
And... Yeah. And that can be quite funny.
So do you think we get our daily quota of 1,400?
At least. At least my head's going to explode.
For more information about the work that Sean and I are doing, and of course Ree, our wonderful assistant, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
You just called her an assistant, she'll kill you for that.
I'm like, is that not good?
No.
No, that's not good, is it? It's like she's on a game show holding up getting some kind of...
Yeah. I think Ree's the boss.
She is, in truth.
Yeah.
She tells us what to do.
Yeah.
But we need that, don't we?
Yeah.
Bit of direction. We've digressed a bit there. New listeners to the show, you'll find we do that every now and again. Yeah, go to the website, find out more about us. If you enter your email address in the website there, you'll be given access to a whole load of cool freebies, which will help you progress and develop as a human being yet further. Right, Sean?
Indeed.
How's your week been, Sean?
It's been absolutely amazing. I was down in Birmingham doing a talk with the Rethink people when we were in London.
I couldn't make this one, but yeah, I believe it went pretty well.
Yeah, well, I got this amazing... it's lovely. It is lovely to get feedback. It's lovely to get good feedback. This one says, well, you really well done this time, Sean. Your impact on the staff at Castle Mill, that's in Birmingham, was greater than that on the staff in London. I've had so many emails of thanks, and that's from Alison, who arranged it. For us all. But I mean, it's really lovely. They were a wonderful team of people, and Rethink's an amazing organisation. Really, really good people. And it was lovely to work with them. Mm. So thank you, guys. Good.
Brilliant. Yeah, shame I missed that one. I've had a pretty good week, too. Nice chill that weekend. And I've been doing a lot of networking recently. I've got an event coming up next week that I'm organising nearby at the coffee shop, which looking forward to that. And last week, I had an event in Liverpool I went to. A pal of mine organised it in there. About 30, 40 people in a room learning lots of stuff about business. And
Do you find that the relationships that you develop in those networking things, are they lasting?
They can be, but yeah, you need to meet people, I don't know, probably 5, 6, 7 times before...
To get that hook in.
You finally say, OK, should we meet up for a coffee, just the two of us next week, and finally figure out how we could work together, maybe?
Yeah.
Takes time.
Yeah, interesting.
Because you've joined the morning one that we go
to. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I enjoy it. It's a nice breakfast. It's a lovely bunch of people again.
Yeah, good laugh, isn't it?
It's so nice in life to be working with people that are good.
Yep.
And people that are motivated. I love it.
Right, this week we're talking about stress and the value of stress, whether it can be a good thing, a bad thing, both. Where should we start? What is stress?
Well, you've got a quote, haven't you?
Yeah, no. This was kick-started, this idea, by someone called Jo Casey, who I met a couple of months ago. Great lady, great blog. And then she's got a blog post called Stress is Actually Good for You. You're joking, right? And she's got a picture of the guy from This is Spinal Tap. Have you seen that show?
Film? No.
Right, you've got to see that.
Good.
That's the resource of the week sorted.
Okay, Spinal Tap.
But yeah, and it starts with a great line saying, imagine what life would be without any challenges. It'd be rubbish, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And I guess that's where I want to come into the idea of stress, because when you're talking about stress, it's a bit like people talking about flu and colds, because when people have a cold, they will say, I've got the flu, and they really lay it on thick, and they haven't got the flu at all. If you have influenza, it knocks you on your back for 2-3 weeks. Most people just get a heavy cold or something.
Like you?
Yeah, I've had a heavy cold, but I'm fighting back because I've had man flu. So that's it, it's man flu, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not the flu. But it's the same with stress. People start to describe themselves as being stressed when they're busy.
Mm.
So that as soon as life becomes busy, and busy should be brackets normal, but as soon as it becomes brackets stressed, then life becomes a problem. It's okay to be busy.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And everyone's busy.
Yeah. Well, everybody should be busy.
Oh, okay.
Because if you're busy, you're growing and you're developing, you're learning as a person, and you're getting 1,400 new brain cells a day, then you're ahead of the game, aren't you?
True.
Yeah, it's got to be there.
Definition of stress is a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or demanding circumstances. So that demanding circumstances bit at the end is quite important, isn't it?
Cause well, the way I would see it, my definition would be that stress occurs when the resources available are less than the resources that are required. And that doesn't matter whether it's emotional, mental, physical, financial. You know, if you need a pound and you've only got 90 pence, you know, you're stuffed. You're financially stressed. Yeah, and that's true on every level. So if what's required of me is more than what I've got to give, then I'm in a state of stress heading towards breakdown.
Right. That's when people pick up the phone to you, eh?
Yeah. But very often people would contact me and say, you know, I'm really stressed. And they're not stressed. What they are is they're very, very busy and they've got bad time management or something like that. You know, so sometimes there are things that we can do. And very often, this is it. It's not changing the amount of things that somebody does, but changing the way that they do those things.
Okay.
That takes the concept of stress away. Because that's a powerful thing. You know, I go into organisations and they will say, can you do a stress audit on this department? And I say, no, I can't do that. And I refuse to do stress audits. Because if I go into a department and I say, OK, we're now going to look at your levels of stress. Everybody thinks, oh, stress, stress, and they're all talking about stress. If I say, yeah, we're going to do a well-being audit, people think, yeah, well-being, yeah, feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a different kind of response. We start to predict the response. So I think in that sense, as soon as I say to you, Ed, you know, I'm really stressed, I'm actually starting to write a script that makes me helpless in my stress state, as opposed to, Ed, you know what, I'm really busy, but I'm digging it and I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
It's different.
You look stressed.
Yeah. I'm just busy and I'm having a good time. you said to me earlier on that at the moment you're going through one of those phases where there's a load of work on and life's busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you said, and I'm stressed. And we talked about, well, are you stressed or are you busy? What is it?
Yeah, I'm really busy at the moment. I'm juggling so many projects. I'm enjoying it, though.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. But every now and again, I'll get an email from a client that I'm working maybe on a web project for, and they'll just kind of say, how are you doing on this? And I'll know that I'm supposed to have already sent something to them because I've got that many things on the go. And that will create like negative kind of, all right, I'm not busy now, I'm stressed. So that maybe that's where the differentiation is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but does that mean that once you start to get that feeling of I'm stressed, that your abilities start to diminish then? You start to get less efficient when you're stressed?
I think that it is, yeah. Just thinking about what's happened to me in the last week. I can see the difference now between busy and stressed, because I've got a lot of work on, and when I'm in that busy phase and I'm not getting the emails saying, oh, how's that doing, or where's this, then I'm getting a lot done and I'm firing through things. And when I get that little bit of work off my desk and that box ticked, then it's a good feeling.
Yep.
Whereas if someone's chasing me for something and I'm a bit behind schedule and maybe they're getting upset, they're probably not, but I think that they are, then I'm probably not being as productive in those moments.
So, and that takes me to my old chestnut, which is my Honda 50 school of psychology,
yeah,
which is that having a Honda 50 when I was a kid that would only do 54 miles an hour.
It's a little scooter, we should say.
The scootery, motorbike-y thing, yeah.
Yeah.
You could fit two people on it, but it went even slower with two people.
But it wouldn't move.
Yeah. So it would do 54 miles an hour. But the thing is, it would only ever do 54 miles down. And the big lesson it taught me, and this is a real lesson about stress, is that if I was early for somewhere, I would drive at 54 miles an hour whistling, having a good time. And if I was late for somewhere, I'd drive at 54 miles an hour grimacing, going, trying to make it go faster. And it actually only ever did the same speed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important, because when you are doing what you can do in an allotted amount of time, it doesn't matter how uptight and anxious and worried and stressed, if we're going to use that word, that we get about it, we can still only do what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well do what you can do with a smile on your face, as opposed to doing it, building up this feeling of I am stressed.
Yeah, I guess the point is that stress and anxiety as well, maybe, it comes from within, doesn't it? It's not from external forces.
Yeah, there's a quote here which is tied to a resource that I want to talk about later, but this is a good quote. It says, "Stress comes not from the outside, it arises inside us. Agitation and anger are not stress, they cause stress." And that's the point, is that the stress is something that is a result of what's going on inside us.
Yeah.
It always is. So you go back to what Epictetus said 5,000 years ago, which is that men, sexist, are not in the least affected by events. That's not the issue. What they're affected by is their response to the events. And that's our choice.
Yep.
And that's the issue that we do talk about a lot in Live in the Present, about I have a choice. Not do I only have a choice about what I do, I think, but I've also got a choice about how I feel. And I can enact that choice. I can change what I'm feeling. I don't have to go along like a lemming and jump over the edge.
Yeah.
I can just, you know, be in my own stress-less space if I want to.
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, we were talking earlier on about how there are people that work hard and play hard.
Mm.
And I think that that is a really important concept, because there's nothing wrong with having a day where you are really busy. Maybe you're really crazy, bonkers, mad busy, but that's okay. Even if you come home and you can feel all the tensions of that mad, busy, bonkers day, but you do something about it. Like you go for a run, you run, jump, scream, shout. You do something to move that chemistry on.
Yeah, burn off that energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those busy days when you've got absolutely bucket loads to do, but you get to the end of it and all those boxes are ticked. Like I've got one tomorrow probably where I've got to rattle through 4 or 5 jobs and get things, emails sent out. Then I've got to pick Will up from nursery, or my mum's going to. Then my mum's coming here to put him to bed because I'm going to a networking event in Liverpool,
right?
Which I'm helping set up. Then I've got to chat to a load of people for a couple of hours. Then I've got to get to a certain place in Liverpool to be picked up by my wife, who's on her way back from work. Then we're going to come home, get some fish and chips on the way back. Will will be asleep in bed, I'm sure. Kick my parents out and then just melt into the sofa.
Be able to relax.
So if I can get through all that, wow.
Yeah.
That'd be a good feeling.
But if there's a good feeling of satisfaction in that, would that be stress? Or would that be, I've just had a really busy but fulfilling day?
I'm sure there'll be stress along the way. Yeah.
I'm not sure about this word stress.
Yeah, you don't like today.
But it's like, how often am I in a situation where the resources I have available are less than the resources that I need? I may be pushed to the edge sometimes, and I may get through the day by the skin of my teeth, and I've got everything done, and wow, that's cool, I've done it.
Yeah.
But it's very rare that that any of us are in a situation where we can't get to the end of the journey. That's stress. Stress is when you look at a graph, you have a graph that starts off at the bottom with what's known as underload. And underload means that there's no requirement on your system. There's no tension in your system. There's no requirement to do anything. And that's the classic couch potato. Interestingly, the chemistry and the stress chemistry, if we're calling it that, in underload is the same as overload.
Yeah.
Right. But between underload and overload, you get this point where you start to do something. There's a reason to get out of bed. You can feel the pull. And then you get to the point which is known as dynamic tension.
Right.
That you've got that dynamic feeling where you need to get up and do something. There's an excitement, there's a pull. So it's making you do stuff, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the stress point where the pull on that elastic is so tight that it's near breaking. And if it tips over the top on the graph and you start to fall, that's when you had a breakdown.
Right.
Because the elastic's broken, it can't hold you anymore.
Well, let's put one of these graphs on the show notes for the I take it this pretty well known graph, is it?
Yeah, I can. In fact, I could draw you one on the back of a, I'm going to say a cigarette packet, but of course I don't smoke, so
of course
I could draw you one anyway.
Yeah.
But it's what we're looking at is something where if you don't have enough tension in your system, then you're really unhealthy. You have too much tension in your system, you're unhealthy. It's the bit in the middle. You've got to have the pull. There's got to be a reason to do something.
And, when you haven't got enough, you've got couch potatoes written down here.
Yeah.
That's when people haven't got any drive to do out and they just spend their lives not getting much done.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. And that is a very easy place to get to, because once you get into it and you get used to it, it gets very hard to move then.
Mm-hmm.
And people do get stuck in that couch potato syndrome. Hard to get them off their backsides doing things again.
Yeah, I've been there. The period when I'd finished university and I was back home for a bit looking for work, I was doing a bit of work from home, like freelancing and jobs for, friends and family that own businesses. But yeah, just not getting much done in the day. And yeah, it's easy to get into that cycle.
Yeah. And when you get in that cycle and the chemistry starts to set in, and remember this is either underload or overload, like high stress. Main problems when you get things like the adrenaline and the cortisols flooding around your system is you start to get hardened arteries. When you're young, the arteries, the walls are very rubbery, so that you can stand on your head and do all kinds of things. If you're too old and you stand on your head, you tend to have a brain hemorrhage unless you've got very rubbery arteries going on up there in veins.
That's why? Okay.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah. But once those start to get hard and they start to lose their flexibility, if you get any blockages starting to build up in the tubes, that's when people are having heart attacks and DVTs and deep vein thrombosis and strokes and all
wow.
that kind
so
of stuff.
So there's actual physical...
Yeah, physiological effects.
Effects to the yeah. to long-term
yeah.
stress.
But also it's the issue of... I mean, I was when we were talking earlier on, I was saying that in some areas that I work in, it could be as high as about 70% of the people that I'm working with will go home and pop a cork on a bottle. And their stress reduction or stress control management system is alcohol. Go and have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's fabulous, Friday nights, sit down, have a glass of wine, end of the week, that's good.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
It's when you're doing it every night is a problem. When you're doing not just a glass, maybe you're doing a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's when you start to really affect your chemistry. Loads and loads of evidence of the relationship between alcohol and breast cancer. And statistics would suggest that with young women, particularly both drinking and smoking nicotine is on the increase again in Britain. Which means that the generation that's coming up, if they carry on with their behaviours, we're going to get this spike of people with lung cancers again, head and neck, throat cancers, and alcohol-related illness. So it could be, when you're looking at stress, we say that stress, people will say things like stress causes cancer, but maybe yeah. what stress can do is to cause the behaviour, like drinking the alcohol, that leads to the breast cancer.
Right.
Yeah, so it's
they are linked, but...
Yeah, but it's the alcohol rather than the stress. It's the response. So
yeah.
In doing something else rather than drinking the alcohol, maybe we make ourselves healthier. But, yeah, and certainly in workplace, I could show you examples of departments in the public sector where a few years ago there were over 20 people running a department. Now there's 5. So each of those people are doing at least 4 people's work, or doing what 4 people were doing 10 years ago.
Well, a big part of your work is going, isn't it, to hospitals and helping out staff.
Yeah, and organisations, factories and things, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And stress levels are up in the sense that people are doing much, much more than they were doing a generation ago.
Is this an information overload thing as well? Refresh my emails on my phone here, which I haven't refreshed since this morning. I don't have them automatically come in anymore because I'd never get anything done. I'd just be staring at my phone all day. Okay, 29 emails I've had since lunchtime.
Right.
It's 4 o'clock now, people.
Yeah.
Not all of those will need actioning, but yeah, most of them do. Oh man, I see I'm getting stressed. Yeah, information overload, is that...
I think that's real, yeah.
That's real,
yeah.
Right?
I had an adopter granny, Edna, when I lived on the Isle of Wight, who was 96.
And adopter granny? Called Edna?
Yeah.
Adopter granny Edna?
I adopted her, yeah. She needed looking after, so I looked after her.
Yeah.
And she came from Scotland, and her attitude was, I haven't got a clue what you do for a living, because when I was a girl, we didn't have stress. And she described a world where she lived in a village where the blacksmith's son became the blacksmith. And it had been that way for generations. And there wasn't stress. There were no cars, no telephones, no televisions, no radios. It was just word of mouth, and you get the paper once a week. And no one went further in a day than you could go there and back on a horse and cart. That was it. Yeah.
Simpler times, eh?
Yeah. Whereas today, I can go over to Brussels on the early plane from here, work the day in a factory, seeing people doing stuff, and then fly back and be back here, you know, 9:30 in the evening.
And all the stress of being at an airport, hey, flipping heck.
Well, it's only stressful if you're going with it, is it? If you're observing it and enjoying the experience.
Yeah.
And enjoying the fun of being in a plane, flying, and wow, isn't it amazing how it stays up in the air, look at the way it turns, and all that kind of stuff.
What about going through security, though? That's not fun. Or is it?
Well, no, I think that the security these days is like having an unofficial massage. You know, it's put your arms out, sir, and then you get frisked.
Some of those guys are pretty friendly, you know, 50-50. It's funny, in different countries, there tend to be different levels of politeness and aggression.
Yeah.
I went to Amsterdam a couple of years ago, and the guys at security there were amazing. They were just like the friendliest guys ever. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Like,
so I think that stress is in the eye of the beholder in most cases. And in that, I'm not saying that people aren't busy. I'm not saying that there are not people that are stressed. What I'm saying is lots of us use this word stress when we don't really mean it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mean we're having a busy time. We've got a lot on.
Would the world be a better place without the word stress, even if it still existed as a physiological... Should we just get rid of that word and stop using it?
Yeah, I think it has a negative concept.
Is it one of those words that we should just ditch?
Yeah,
like,
I think
can't,
so. Yeah,
won't.
All should, must, can't, and stress.
Yeah.
get rid of the lot. They're not helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe the issue isn't about the people that are talking about stress. Maybe the people we need to listen to are the people that are talking about what they're doing about their feelings of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than wallowing in it and dying in it. And I'm really not putting down anybody who's got a heavy workload or has got a mad manager or was working in a system where they're expecting people to do too much. But even in a system where people are shouting and screaming because they need more and more done, it still comes back to Honda 50. You can only do what you can do in the time allotted.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you scream and shout, jump up and down, carry on, get worried, stressed, anxious, depressed. It doesn't matter. You can only do what you can do in the same period of time.
Exactly. Yeah, so you want to be efficient and get a good amount of work done in your day and your week and in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, ditch that word.
As Bob Proctor would say, we all need to calm down and speed up.
I did an impression with him a couple of weeks ago, didn't I?
Yeah.
I won't do it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Once you do that, then your life starts to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to live for the same amount of hours, same amount of breath, same amount of heartbeats, whether you do it with a smile on your face or you have a really miserable time. It's the same journey.
If people are feeling stressed, sorry to use that word, but there are techniques, even at the desk, right, that they can use and just some breathing.
Simple breathing things, 7-11 breathing, where you breathe in for 7 and out for 11, or as near as you can get. You're breathing out for more than you breathe in. Each time you breathe out, you reduce the levels of stress hormone in your system.
Mm.
Yeah? Each breath. And you can avoid panic attacks like that. But certainly doing 2-3 minutes of focused mindfulness meditation type stuff. It needs to be 2-3 minutes. You can reduce your blood pressure. You can take things right down.
I was listening to a podcast, one of the Here's the Thing ones that I've been talking about recently.
Mm.
It was like my dream podcast. It was Alec Baldwin talking to Jerry Seinfeld, like two of my heroes. I refreshed and saw who it was. Like, yeah, this is amazing. But at the end of it, Jerry talked about he's been using transcendental meditation
since
the 70s when he stopped. Yep. And he was like 15, 16 then.
Yep.
And he's been using it every day since then.
Yep. Well, TMers, the Arizona, they've got their main unit over there. They have done a lot of research using brain scans, and they show very clearly how if you do meditation, they're doing transcendental meditation, which is a mantra-based meditation, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. And if you look at a brain scan 2 years down the line, and someone's brain structure has completely changed.
Wow.
It's become much denser, it's grown. So we're talking about that's where those 1,400 cells are going. They're actually building the brain.
I think I'm going to give this meditation log a serious go. One of the best things Jerry said about it, and this is pretty cool. I haven't heard anyone say this before. because Alec was like, Alec Baldwin doesn't meditate, but he too was keen to give it a go. He said, Jerry said that, you know that feeling when you've had a real good sleep and you wake up refreshed?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've slept for 10, 12 hours just because you get the chance. Jerry said that I feel like that every day.
Yeah.
Because I do transcendental meditation.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, sold. Because I know that feeling when you wake up and you feel...
Yeah.
And I don't get it all that often.
All right. Yeah.
So maybe I need to give this a go, eh?
Yeah. I should come around here with my mat.
Yeah.
Sit cross-legged.
Blimey. Are you going to float through the window with your legs crossed?
Definitely. Yeah. I do it every day.
Yeah, I need to give it a go. Yeah. Meditation, but if people are at work, that's a place where people get stressed.
In the workplace, we do the 3-minute meditations.
Yes.
So that in 3 minutes, you can change your system. You can let go of the tensions, and you can go into the bathroom for 3 minutes, sit down in the cubicle. No one knows where you've gone. Well, they know where you've gone, but they don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you can just do a 3-minute meditation, come back in and let it go.
Yep.
Stop letting the negative stuff get to you and give you this feeling of stress, and allow yourself to work calmly with what it is you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I'm sure there will be a mother that's listening to this, and she'll say, but I can't go into the toilet, because every time I go into the toilet, the child's banging on the door to come in. And one of the things that I would say that you can do, and I would recommend a particular website to start playing with this. It's the meditationoasis.com website,
yeah,
where they've got meditations for children. And there's no reason, and I've know this because I've done it with a teacher, where you get a classroom where you've got children that are 6 and 7, and you've got them doing short meditations.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had them trained so that when it started getting rowdy, she'd blow a whistle. And when she blew the whistle, they'd all have to stop and assume a position for 3 minutes, which is a hell of a long time when you're that age.
Mm.
Yeah, but learning, start off with a minute, get into it, and bring the whole class right down.
Wow.
Yeah,
maybe. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good. Cool. There's a resource I've mentioned a few episodes ago, calm.com,
yeah,
which is one of you, even if you're at your desk and you can't nip out to the bathroom at work,
yeah,
put your headphones in if you can. Calm.com, you can select different lengths of meditations and you just get a nice, yeah, serene image of a forest or a beach.
Yeah.
A whoosh, it's awesome.
Yeah. So can we look at some self-help tips here?
We can.
Yeah.
We should. I think we've gone through a couple already. But
yeah, the mindful meditations one.
Yeah.
I think the organisation and time management is really important.
Yes.
When we look at the amount of time that we waste because we're stressed. Yeah. The expectation for me is that once I start using the word stress, and I start to expect to be stressed, then it becomes self-fulfilling. I am stressed. I feel bad by the end of the day. So that's me getting rid of the word. I like us to get rid of the word stress.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing is that when it comes to letting go of negative tension, people say to me, I just want to scream. And I say, well, scream. And they say, I can't, because people come running. People come and they get excited if I'm screaming. And so I say, but there is one place you can scream, and that's driving down the motorway or the freeway, and you're down there, you've got the music on full blast, and you just let it go. People think you're having a good time to the music. And you can scream, you can swear, you can do whatever you want. You can just dump the lot.
You don't really need the music on. People go, well, you're going along good. Seven.
Yeah, but I think some people feel a bit embarrassed, you know, if the music's playing.
Right, so just to cancel out the noise for themselves.
Maybe they've got a Bat Out of Hell playing and they can just let it rip, whatever you're going to rip to. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to give that one myself a go. In terms of time management as well, there's just things that I could do to avert that situation where I'm getting the email, seeing where I'm up to with things, those dreaded emails. You know, I just need to email the client in advance and just let them know where I'm up to. You know,
yeah.
Or you know, let your boss know how you're getting on.
Yeah.
It will be with you by this time, rather than getting that nasty email and all the stress and that comes with it.
Yeah. The amount of times I've worked with people who are in a situation that is making them feel stressed, and then I'm saying, well, communicate about it. And the people aren't communicating because they're fearful of the communication.
Yeah.
But then when they actually do it, they'll come back and say, you know what, I did that, and it worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's a good one, you know, actually heading it off.
Cool. Yeah, okay. I think we're about done.
Yeah.
You happy?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're not stressed?
Yeah, no, I'm relaxed and chilled.
Of course. Is there anything, do you get stressed at all, Sean? Come on.
If you spoke to Ree, Ree would say, well, of course he does. Ooh. Yeah. And because she's on the other side of me, I don't really get that stressed. I don't really get that kind of angry. Do you know what I mean? I'm a fairly kind of placid, probably kind of boring kind of person most of the time, I guess.
Yeah, pretty boring.
Well, I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people think that about the both of us, actually, myself too, that I don't get stressed.
When I was a kid, my father was a bit bonkers, and he used to like the whiskey bottle, and he used to get really loud and shouty, and the contents particularly.
Yeah.
And when I was a child, I would watch this man screaming and shouting, and I think, what an idiot, what are you doing that for? From being quite tiny, I couldn't get my head round what he got out of doing it, just shouting and screaming and carrying on.
Mm.
You know, madness. And from that moment on, I guess, I can't really see the point in it. If someone pushes me far enough or they press the buttons, I suppose I get angry. But, you know.
You learned from the best, eh? He was a good teacher.
He was a good teacher. Yeah, yeah.
Geesh. We always get onto your dad at some point, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was a big part of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. You sure you're over it all? You
need to, I think I need to see anyone. A therapist. I feel yeah. stressed.
Yeah. I shouldn't laugh. Great, yeah. Okay, let's get a resource of the week.
Well, I'm going for the anti-stress app. You can get it on the iStore.
That's what it's actually called.
It's called anti-stress, yep.
Okay, easy
and,
to
and
find.
That's really good, explains a lot about the physiology, gives you some exercises. Yeah.
iPhone, iPad, is it?
Yeah, I don't know whether you can get it on Android as well. I was thinking that you can these days.
I'm sure. I'll have a look for you,
yeah.
For everyone.
But that's good. That's a good one.
The anti-stress app, okay, yeah. That looks pretty cool. It's got a very unstressful image of a guy with
Who looks like he's really angry, but his head's on fire.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. At the end, his head's getting a bucket of water.
Yes, he's going to spray his head, yeah. It's good.
I am going to talk about a little app that I've been using quite a bit the last few weeks. Again, for iPhone, but there will be various Android versions. And it's called Heart Rate. There's a free version and a paid version, and basically it's a clever little thing that monitors your heart rate whenever you want it to.
I've got the paid version.
Oh, lad, you are.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't upgraded yet, but I will do. The free one's fine to start with because it's quite clever. It does it from the camera.
Yeah.
On your iPhone and your iPad or your smartphone, and it can see the tiny little changes in colour in your skin.
Yeah.
Which is, I've looked into it because I was like, okay, is this legit? Does it really work?
Mm.
Apparently, it's more accurate than actually checking your pulse.
Yeah.
Doctors have.
I've been using it when I've been running. So I'll do it before, and if I can, I'll do it halfway through while I'm still going, and then do it at the end.
What are the before and afters then?
I'm down into the 60s, 63-ish at rest, and going up to about 160 at full burn.
160, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. When I'm going full gallop, I can get up to that.
Yeah, I'm kind of mid-60s, early 70s at rest, and...
I was started off when I was first started running at about 77, 78, and I'm down to about 63.
Oh, right, that's quite interesting.
So you can see that change.
I had a double espresso this morning, and I hit 95.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, caffeine is a real hard drug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's a good app, though. Yeah, if you do the paid version, you can monitor your progress over time.
You can
add tags so that you know what... You know, if you've just got out of bed or if you've been running.
Yeah, I like that because you can check what's it like at different times of day or after you've done different things. That's good.
It's clever, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's clever. Okay, we're all done. For all the links and notes to everything that Sean and I have discussed here, visit our website, livingthepresent.co.uk. You can share this show and that website with a friend. We would be eternally grateful because we want to spread the word, don't we, Sean?
Yeah, we do.
Assume you like it. If you don't...
We are.
Yeah, if you don't like it, then...
Then don't tell them.
There's no incentive to share it at all. And that's it. Next week, we're going to be talking about body language.
Mm.
You're one of these guys who can tell exactly what a person's thinking just by the way that their hands are...
Well, part of my training was about being able to read a lot about someone's emotions before they get as far as the consulting room.
Blimey.
So you go to the waiting room, you say, "Hi, my name's Sean. We're down there, last door on the left." And then you watch the person walking down. You're looking at their spine mainly, look where they're holding their tensions.
Right.
So you can tell quite a lot about someone's emotionality before they get as far as the chair.
It's fascinating, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very self-conscious, though, as I sit in front
of
you.
Yeah, yeah. One of the interesting things about teaching a body language course is every time you say something, it's self-exposure. Because by the end of the day or the hour or the minute, people are reading me because I'm stood there doing it.
Yeah.
So the more I'm telling them, the more they're reading me. I'm the person they're looking at.
So okay.
People get an insight into
me. I'm looking forward to that one. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Right. Have a good week, Sean.
Thank you. And you.
Everyone, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, you take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.